That was music from Connor Oberst's latest album. It's called Salutations. And before that, we heard the Thievery Corporation, some Jim James back there as well, and the Swimming Branch doing their single Diamonds in the Distance. Their album comes out next month on Sofaburn Records, so we'll look forward to that. We've got a lot to look forward to this Sunday. It's the Big Lens Film Festival, the 2017 edition. It's this Sunday, April 30th at 3 p.m. at the Rave Cinema, 14 and IMAX at the Green. And we have three of the filmmakers involved in this year's festival in the house with us. They are all from Wright State's Motion Picture Program and have some great work out there that we're going to be excited to see this weekend. I want to welcome Leah Bird, Chris Christensen, and you want to be ER Dickey or?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. ER. All right. All right. And ER Dickey, welcome all of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here.
So happy to have you guys here. So let's start off before we talk about your films specifically. Tell me a little bit about kind of what drew each of you to film. Why did you decide that you wanted to pursue this both for your studies and as a career moving into the future? Or what was the piece of media? I won't even say film, television show, music video. What was it that did it for you that said, hey, I want to do this?
Why are you even looking at me? All right. For me, it was just like I've always been artistic. I've always really liked drawing. And with film, I kind of went into college like not knowing what I wanted to do exactly. I was like, I want to be a film director, but I had never tried it. So I was like going into it not sure what I was doing. But once I picked up a camera and really tried it, like I fell in love with it. And I felt like it was like the grandest way and like the best way for me to express myself as an artist. So like just being able to like visualize things and then express it through picture. Like I thought that was really interesting and cool to do.
And for you, was there something that you saw when you were younger that made you say, I want to do this? Or was it just something you kind of always knew, like just in general, like I want to make movies or make film?
I mean, it sounds really cliche, but like growing up, like film was like my vice. Like I always like movies were something I turned to. Like it was just like always there. So it's just like it was like this world that I wanted to be involved in. I wanted to like tell my own stories, and like I saw the potential with it and just really, really interested me. So I just wanted to try it in college. So it's kind of what led me in that direction. But the movie The Crow, like I've got it tattooed all over my arm. Obviously, I love it. Like movies like that just really got me going. And I was just like, this is so cool. Like I really want to do this kind of stuff. And kind of led me in that direction of like dark, like films like that. So I don't know. I thought it was cool.
Very nice. Very nice. What about you guys, Leah, ER? What drew you to film as a medium?
Well, see, I was not really into film, if I'm being honest. What got me into it was YouTube, actually. Like, I was pretty obsessed with YouTube when I was in junior high. Like, I did a project on it even. And when I was in eighth grade, I got a camera for Christmas, and I just started making stuff. And basically all through high school, I knew I wanted to do film. And then I'm from Dayton, so Wright State was just, like, local. So it was just like, yeah. And it turned out to be a super great program, so that was lucky. And, yeah, it was mostly YouTube, probably because it just, like, really sparked my interest because, you know, it's so accessible. Anyone can put their work out there. And because it's so accessible, it has more voices of people who I can relate to that don't really make it into mainstream art.
And it's I'm sure it was a really interesting experience coming from the YouTube maker end of things to go into a film program that I know when I was at Wright State was very focused on the classics and all of those things that kind of came before, to bring the kind of YouTube sensibility into what you're doing and mesh those things together in your work. That's got to be a really fascinating experience as a creator.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't super into all the classic film stuff like most people, because it's just not what drew me in. But I mean, I definitely learned a lot in a lot of the, like, theory and stuff, and I like can see the appreciation. But no, I definitely feel like I have a different style of editing in general because I'm used to YouTube as like my default format.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're going to talk more about your work here in just a second. And ER, what about you? What brought you into this world?
Oh man, it was I can remember the month exactly. It was October when I was 12 years old. And I'll never forget, a friend of mine lent me a copy of David Lynch's Eraserhead. And I specifically meant VHS, too. I had tons of VHSs. And I remember putting the VHS inside my VHS player. And about 120 minutes later, like, I just felt like my body, like, transcend. Like, film was, like, the first, like, artistic medium that, like, made me, like, feel like I was leaving my body. And ever since then.
So did you know right away, you know, that you wanted to do it, too? Like, did you know, like, this is a medium that that made me transcend, and I want to create that experience for other people?
Absolutely, yeah. Ever since I was 12, that's all I've ever wanted to do.
Nice, nice. So all three of you are getting ready to show your work at the Big Lens Film Festival, and this is kind of the culmination of your work as film students at Wright State. Tell me a little bit about the genesis of each of your projects. We're going to hear some clips here in a moment, but tell me about those first little inklings of what became these finished works. Leah, I want to start with you. I know that you're doing a web series, so obviously
that's correct.
Obviously, this makes sense knowing that your background is YouTube and that's what drew you into the medium. But tell us a little bit about Hot and Bothered.
Well, about Hot and Bothered, it follows, like, two best friends. I, like, play one of the leads. It's, like, me, this, like, biracial lesbian character, and this, like, white straight dude who are, like, stoners, and they live in Dayton, Ohio, and, you know, they're, like, these losers that try to hit on girls and suck, and so they decide to make the grinder for lesbians to help my character out to try to find some lovin', and they start to just, you know, get in over their heads with a bunch of crazy things. I guess you'll have to watch and see. Yeah.
So what's the experience like to not just write and direct, but to act in your own project?
It's hard, you know, like, a huge thing, I had to rely on, you know, like, my cinematographer and assistant director a lot because I couldn't be behind see the monitor always to see how the take was. So it was a lot of, you know, relying on the other keys and just a whole shift of balance of work because when I'm in front of the camera, I can't be doing other jobs. And, yeah, it's insane, but worth it.
It's got to be, as you say, like a tricky balance to both be the one in charge, but to also have to sort of rely on or give some of that control over to people you trust when you can't be in both places at once.
Yeah. It definitely is. But, like, you know, it's just like the people in my crew, you know, like, I feel like we all talk about this project. It's not like it's not too difficult because we all understand the tone and what it's supposed to be, so it's pretty easy, you know. I feel like we all have a similar vision of what it's supposed to be, so it's not too scary.
Got a good team behind you.
That is right, I do.
Well, why don't we listen to a clip from Hot and Bothered? Do you want to set this up at all, or should we roll with it?
Okay, this clip happens right at the beginning of episode one, and you'll see my character Liz on a date with their potential partner to be. Let's find out.
Let's take a listen to this one from Hot and Bothered.
Would you maybe want to make this official and be my girlfriend?
I can't.
Why not?
I tried to tell you, my grandma is, not feeling well.
Nana?
I think she's one bad news away from kicking the bucket.
I mean, yeah, I don't want that blood on my hands. But wouldn't she want you to be happy?
Oh, that would not make her happy.
Why not? She doesn't want you to be happy?
Why? No, it's not because she's homophobic. No, oh my god, she coached softball. Her favorite character on Rugrats is Phil and Lil's mom. It's because you're black.
That's a clip from Hot and Bothered. We've got Leah Bird, writer, director, actor in the house. So there is a lot happening there. As a writer and a director and a creator, I'm fascinated with people who can do comedy well and who can balance comedy and social commentary and really just like get in there and make it funny and a little bit uncomfortable. Do you find that that comes naturally in the writing process, or is it a lot of careful consideration for like how much is too much?
Oh,
or?
Dude, so much careful consideration. I feel like I'm always like, is this too much? I don't want to sound preachy, you know, like I just want to touch on the subject.
Yeah.
Like I definitely feel like it's a balance. And yeah, it also, you're just like, I don't want to offend too many people. Like, it's tricky. But no, I was definitely inspired by a lot. I love comedy that makes commentary and stuff, you know. It's the greatest.
It's a web series, so is it ongoing? Will there be more, or was it a limited, you know, start to finish?
Oh, no, last year I shot the first two episodes, and this summer I'm shooting four more to complete the first season, and that should be out by the end of this year.
Awesome.
But, yeah, I just actually launched my Facebook page for Hot and Bothered, if you want to check that out.
Give it to us, facebook.com/...
Hot and Bothered Series.
Cool. We'll get it up on the Kaleidoscope Facebook page. Well, we're gonna come back to Leah because I want to find out what you're doing next in addition to more episodes of Hot and Bothered. But let's talk to another of our filmmakers, Chris. Tell us about Jack.
Whoa, it's gonna get really dark and really like weird.
It's all good.
I'm sorry.
We can go there.
So yeah, Jack is inspired by, is that what we're going for? Like what inspired us?
Sure, yeah.
All right, he was my imaginary friend when I was a little kid, and I just kind of didn't grow out of him when I was a teenager, which is real weird. But yeah, he is like a visual representation for me of what bipolar disorder is. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a really like dark film. It's really personal to me, but it's very sci-fi, very weird. And to me, that is just a visual representation of how I feel about a lot of things. So that's where I went with it.
Nice, nice. So, again, as a writer, as a creator, when you're trying to take something like bipolar that affects many people but isn't talked about in broad terms in society, and both talk about it and make art about it, what's for you, kind of how do you balance the personal, the artistic, and kind of the broader, you know, like, hey, we need to talk about this? Or do you get into the, hey, we need to talk about this, or just focus on personal and artistic?
I think that's the biggest problem bipolar is like, I don't know, mm-hmm. like what I'm feeling like when, so like I'll have moments where I'm just like, yeah, this is, you know, grand, and, like, I'm doing this grand, amazing thing, and then it's, like, I'll have moments where it's, like, I mean, you'll hear in the clip, like, I, you know, talk down on myself, I hate everything I'm doing, and it's, like, this back-and-forth toxic relationship with myself where it's, like, this is my creative side, and this is what makes me who I am, but then there's also the part that's, like, I can't function normally like this, so it's a really difficult, like, balance of things, but it's hard to say, it's, like, I don't know. It's a part of what makes me like an artist, but it's also a part of like what makes it difficult as a person to get through things. So it's a weird thing for me.
Did you find that you said, you know, you've got some elements of sci-fi and the fantastic in there? Did you find that it was easier to use some of those genres to help express some of these things that we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Like my film is very like heavily like anime inspired, like style-wise, very dark. But I use like, you know, like, I basically, like, used drawings from when I was a child, like, that I drew, like, to express my film. And, like, when you see the film, it really shows that. But it's a very visual style for a very personal, emotional feeling. Like, it's a very emotional film for me, but expressed in a very, like, abstract way.
So. Is that difficult as an artist. I often talk to songwriters, and we talk about, like, what's the point where you're able to take this thing that's very much of your heart and let it go and put it out there for other people? Did you find that was easy with this film to sort of say, okay, I'm taking this thing that's very much of me and I'm going to share it with others on the screen? Or was that, you know, kind of hard to say, okay, I'm making this thing and it's of me, and oh yeah, now it's gotta go out into the world?
I for me personally, like, it's very easy for me to be very open about things like that because I'm not afraid of it. Like, it's just, it's something that I feel like affects a lot of people, and I feel like people that are affected by it shouldn't be afraid to talk about it, but yet we are because people don't understand it. Like, if you have any kind of mental illness, it's, like, something that's frowned upon usually, and it's not okay. Like, it shouldn't be, and we should be allowed to talk about it. And that's, like, how I feel about it. Like, I'm not afraid to speak my mind about how I experience my disorder, and that's just how I am about it.
Well, let's listen to the clip. Can you set it up for us?
This is just a conversation I feel like I've had with myself, and I'm not the best with dialogue, but this is just kind of, like, something that I felt like was okay for this scene, I guess. I don't know.
Let's take a listen. This is a clip from Jack, one of the films that'll be featured at this Sunday's Big Lens Film Festival.
Just listen to me. Things could go back to the way they were. I'm the one who's always been there. In the end, I'll be the only one left. Except by then, it won't be me. Just end it!
That's a clip from Jack, one of the films that's going to be shown at this Sunday's Big Lens Film Festival. And we are talking to three of the filmmakers involved. Chris, you mentioned anime as an influence, and I could even hear it in that clip. How did you kind of take anime and incorporate elements of it into your work?
Well, like, Jack's a character, like, that's always been inspired by things that I grew up on. And, like, I grew up on anime, like, Inuyasha and, like, weird, you know, fun, like, stuff like that. And he, like, I feel like anime is very dark and it can be very violent and it can be very expressive in, like, an extreme way. And that's what I like about it, is that it's so overly emotional that I feel like it's just something that really is just stylized. And I love that about it, that it's just so over the top.
But I can definitely see that on both ends of the spectrum, really, because you've got the anime that is exactly, as you're saying, very, very dark. And then you've got some of the other animes that are just so over the top, like happy and shiny. And so I can see how that would be appealing as an artist to sort of pull from those kind of extremes and the imagery and all of that. That's going to be exciting to see up on the screen. We're going to talk some more here in just a minute because I want to know what you're going to be up to as we move along our film journey. But I want to get to our third filmmaker, E.R. Dickey. Your work that we're going to see this Sunday is called He Didn't Even Leave a Note. Tell us a little bit about it and what brought it about.
Oh, man. Well, I would say, first of all, it's not like your standard, like, film. It's not really like narrative form. It's more of what I would call like an atmospheric film. It's very experimental. So what brought that is my uncle, which is actually a huge inspiration for me growing up. He's an award-winning horror and science fiction writer, very talented man. And it's based off a short story he wrote. The short story itself is only like 2 pages, but it's always been one of my favorites, and I've kind of had my eye on doing an adaptation of it for a while.
What's that like to take somebody else's work and adapt it, and at the same time as you're sort of using that as the basis, really making it your own thing?
It's so nerve-wracking.
I bet.
Even though, like, you know, I've grown up my whole life, like, with this man, like, it was just weird taking something, you know, a serious piece of work that, like, he's made, and, like, me to try to take that and interpret it in my own voice and try to, like, put that up, like, with images. So I just have to take literal words and turn them into images. And it was very difficult and, like, super nerve-wracking. I think, like, I lied to him a few times about how much was done because I was so scared to, like, send it to him. I was just like, no, I can't do it yet. But, yeah, that's what I can.
Has he gotten to see it yet or?
Yes. I've sent him just about every cut that I've done, and he's pleased with it. He tells me. He could hate it, so who knows?
Well, why don't we go ahead and hear a clip? Will you set it up for us?
Absolutely. What you're going to hear, there's no dialogue in it, so just sit back and take the ride.
All right. This is a clip from He Didn't Even Leave a Note. It's going to be shown at the Big Lens Film Festival. Take a listen to this one. From
everyone is just like, what?
It's like waiting for something. Like, I felt like, you know, something was gonna like burst through the ceiling or something. It's a clip from He Didn't Even Leave a Note. So when you're dealing with something like that in the absence of dialogue and you're relying so heavily on visuals, and yet you've got this background of words from this story, as a filmmaker, how are you kind of navigating that between the words and the visual and the sound?
Well, it's one of the things that you have to like consider, like watching, like not even just my film, like any type of film of this medium, is you have to be able to like psychologically and emotionally like suspend like what you want from a movie. And you have to kind of just let whoever the artist is like come in and put you on the roller coaster. Like you have to be able to like be willing to, you know, let someone do that for you.
When you were sort of formulating this, how were you tackling scripting? Were you doing a lot of storyboarding or how do you, when you're doing something that is very, very visual, very experimental, where's your kind of starting point?
Writing the script was really weird. 'Cause it was like 3 pages of just blocks and blocks of like text. And, how I approached it was, is I took everything, I of course read the story a million times. And each time I would read it, like the way I come up with these type of films is I see images and like I kind of just sit and describe them as much as possible, like within like the script, and just like hope that everyone's going to trust me with it. I think people still look at the script and they're like, I don't know what this is.
That's gotta be exciting too. With a film like that, well, with any creative work, really, to kind of hear where the audience experience lines up with your intent and where they're bringing their own experience into it and creating something even new out of the sort of mashup of what they're seeing on the screen and what they're bringing in with them.
I couldn't have said that better myself. Like, if you can sit down and watch this and, like, you definitely can't sit down and expect for it to give you the answers. Like, I mean, if you think about it, like, film is like a part of like the, you know, human experience. And with experience, like, you're not going to get like every answer you want. So you have to be just willing to dive into the void.
For sure. So for all three of you, this festival is coming at the end of a big weekend, graduation, all that good stuff. What's next for the three of you creatively, or what would you like to be next as you pursue your careers as filmmakers and college graduates and people of the world? Whoever wants to jump in with an answer first.
Wait, what's next?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in a perfect world, My web series drops. It's a hit. Someone's like, whoa, I need this to be a TV show now. And that's what happens. But
I love it.
I don't know. I do have, like, another idea I want to work on, but it's, like, so early that I don't want to say. Like, all I'll say is, like, I want to make this, like, sci-fi, queer, dystopian comedy, weird, absurd silliness idea next.
See, I want to see it. That's all you got to say. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
So are you thinking to stick with more of the YouTube web series format at this point in your career?
Actually, I was thinking that same format for the next project. So yeah, episodic work is just where I'm at right now, more so than like feature films. It just makes more sense to my brain, you know?
Fair enough. You gotta go with where your brain and your heart lie.
I try.
Awesome. Awesome. Chris, what about you? What's next for you, or what would you like to be next?
I'm going to start applying for grad school when the next year comes up. But until then, I just wrote a feature.
Congratulations.
I'm in the second draft of it. Thank you. It's totally different than Jack. It's a horror film. Totally different. But I'm going to try to keep working on that and get as many drafts done as possible. And I hope to go into pre-production this, you know, eventually, like at the end of the summer. And hopefully shoot it in the fall. Like, that's the plan, so.
That's great. Are you going to try to make it in this area, or have you even thought about where you want to make it?
It's set in, like, the Midwest in the fall, so, like, this is the perfect area.
Right.
You know, Ohio's great for it. So I was, like, because I'm moving to Pasadena, like, California in August, but I'm, like, Ohio is actually where the film's set, so that would make more sense for me to stay here and keep working on it. So I'm trying to figure that out, but I definitely want to start shooting it in the fall.
Nice. Good horror community in the Midwest, I have to say, too.
Yeah,
so
we're
lots of support.
Place for it. There's not a lot going on. We got a lot of woods, so that's great.
A lot of woods for things to stalk around in. That's awesome. So we will look forward to some feature work from you as well. Hopefully some good stuff coming for the Halloween season.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's called Alpha, so look forward to that.
Awesome. I'll keep my eye on Horror Hound in the next few years, and we'll hope to see you
there.
That's where
I'm actually submitting to. I'm submitting Jack
Perfect.
To it, and hopefully my feature next year. So.
Perfect. Well, we will look forward to seeing you there for sure. And ER, what about you? What's next, or what would you like to be next?
Right now I'm in the middle of editing my senior thesis film that we shot in January. That's a small, like, crime film. In the future, I'd really like to write a romantic comedy. Like, I really just want to do something like that. And my goal is in the next, like, couple years, go to grad school, and I would love to, like, teach on a college level.
Nice. So teaching as well as keep writing and working, or do you want to stay pretty much in the educational end of it?
I want to be, like, a teacher and, like, a working, like, filmmaker. So
that's awesome. It's kind of the best of both worlds there.
Exactly. Also, I want to add, too, those sound clips do not, like, do justice. Like, I've seen Hot and Bothered literally probably, like, 15 times, and I still laugh every single time. And, like, Jack, like, the clips definitely can't show you this, but, like, the special effects in Jack are absolutely stunning. Like, anyone listening, like, you should definitely know those two things.
Awesome. Well, just in terms of between the three of you, the different styles of work, like, what a great afternoon of cinema, I have to say, to get to come. And, like, if I were just coming to see your three pieces, I would come away a happy viewer, just in terms of, like, getting a little bit of everything. And you are representing three of seven works, is it, that are going to be shown at the festival?
It's a lot. And yes, they're also seven. Different. Like, it's really great.
That is exciting. And it's exciting to see, I'm sure it is for you as well, to have a program with so many different types of filmmakers coming out of it, and such different types of work, has to be a really fun experience as a student to get to sort of see what your peers are up to and how it's similar or radically different than what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. There's a huge variety in the festival. Like, there's a film to, like, feed anyone who has, like, whatever taste they want.
Awesome. And, of course, at the same time, you'll get to experience something new, too.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. The Big Lens Film Festival is this Sunday, April 30th, at the Rave Cinema at The Green. We've got details and links to get your tickets at our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. And we're going to get links to some of these projects we've been talking about up there as well, so that you can connect with these filmmakers and their work. Guys, I want to thank the three of you so much for coming out and talking about your work. And I'm so excited to see what the three of you are going to come up with in the next few years, because it's going to be awesome. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.